And the woman woke up out of the dream and she said, what have I been doing to my child? She said, I've been keeping her from enjoying heaven. So from today, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to draw back the curtains. I'm going to call all my friends. I'm going to have a party. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. And she did that. And 3 weeks later, she had the same dream. And this time, her little girl was heading the procession. Her candle was lit, and she was singing. So I said to this little girl, do you want to put your mommy's candle out, dear? She said, no. And I said, well, you'd better start rejoicing and stop grieving. And I said, does that answer your question? And she said, can I come up there and answer it? And I said, yes. And she came up, and I got 4 hugs. I was able to share this story with this man. Now, it made me think about angels. To me, this man was the angel message sent by God to tell me what my talk had to be about. And I felt that I was his angel messenger too, that I could bring some sort of comfort to him. And I want to read to you what Mary Baker Eddy says about angels. This is her definition of angels, because recently there's been quite a trend in bookstores and all sorts of places. You see little drawings of angels and books about angels. And sometimes it makes it look just as if they were little magic creatures. But Mrs. Eddy goes a step higher than that and tells us what angels really are. She says, when angels visit us, we do not hear the rustle of wings, nor feel the feathery touch of the breast of a dove, but we know their presence by the love they create in our hearts. Oh, may you feel this touch. It is not the clasping of hands, nor a loved person present. It is more than this. It is a spiritual idea that lights your path. The psalmist said, he shall give his angels charge over thee. God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supplies. Never ask for tomorrow. It is enough that divine love is an ever-present help. And if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. What a glorious inheritance is given to us through the understanding of omnipresent love. More we cannot ask. More we do not want. More we cannot have. This sweet assurance is the peace be still to all human fears, to suffering of every sort. The Bible has a lot to say about angels, and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy have a lot to say about angels. And I would suggest that you look up the concordance and find out for yourself what angels are. And then you will begin to see that these angels are infinite and omnipresent and omniactive right where you are. God has promised us legions of angels. And we must know that they are present and that they are meeting our needs. Now, this is a poem from the Christian Science Journal, which I loved. It was in 1981, September 1981's journal. And it's called Let the Angels Tell Them. It says, angels, God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect, the inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. Isaiah of old said, "Hear now, behold, a virgin conceiving shall bear a son." Indeed, it would be as God's prophet foretold. But who would tell Mary, the favored one? Let Gabriel, let the angel tell Mary, the virgin of the highest will. But who would tell Joseph and make him believe that here was a virgin who could so conceive? The wise virgin Mary let an angel tell him. Let an angel tarry, for more surely we find does one believe angels than words from mankind. Who was there to go out at night time and tell the shepherds who wandered high up on a hill that the Savior was born? It was a bright angel who brought them good tidings of joy for all people. Practicing Christians, prepared to convey the Christ understanding that's with us today, proclaim the glad tidings, and should one refuse to hear healing truths from lips of men, let the angels tell them. Doesn't that tell you what angels do, the work that they do? And these angels are forever with us. About 4 or 5 years ago, I met a man at one of my talks who talked to me afterwards. He told me that his ancestors came from Ireland and that he had always wanted to come to Ireland. And then I met him again at the beginning of this year at another talk. He said he still wanted to come to Ireland. And I said, "Well, what's keeping you?" And he said, "Well, I must confess to you that I have a terrible fear of flying." He said, "I love aeroplanes, but I simply can't fly." And so we kept in touch. I said to him, "Well, that fear can be met and overcome." And we kept in touch, and he told me once in a telephone conversation that some years ago his daughter had been at a boarding school and she called him and asked him to come and see her. And he bought an aeroplane ticket to go and see her, but he couldn't get on the plane. He just couldn't do it, and he went in his car and he had a puncture and all sorts of problems, and he drove so far and got tired and he felt discouraged. So I was encouraging him to come and to stand right up to this fear, and said to him that this fear could be overcome. And he asked if I would help him to overcome that fear, and I said I would. And we kept in touch for quite a while. And one of the things that I wrote to him and that we talked about were God's angels. And I told him to look up hymn number 9, which is, "All glory be to God Most High, and on the earth be peace. The angels sang in days of yore the song that ne'er shall cease till all the world knows peace." God's angels ever come and go, all winged with light and love. They bring us blessings from on high and lift our thoughts above. They whisper, "God is love." O longing hearts that wait on God through all the world so wide, He knows the angels that you need and sends them to your side to comfort, guard, and guide. O wake and hear the angel song that bids all discord cease from pain and sorrow, doubt and fear. It brings us sweet release, and so our hearts find peace. So I worked with him to know that God's angels were omnipresent and omniactive, and they were meeting his needs. I trusted these angels to tell him what he needed to know. Now, we were in touch constantly by phone, and the time was drawing nearer for him to come to Ireland. He was going to meet me, first of all, in New York. And I would say to him, have you bought your tickets? And he would say, no, I'll buy them next week. And next week would come and I'd say, have you bought your tickets? No. And, you know, it came to a point where I was beginning to think that maybe I was trying to talk this man into something he just wasn't ready for. And I decided, well, I'm going to let the angels tell him and trust this to God's care. And then one day he called, very pleased with himself that he had finally bought the tickets. And so the time came for him to make this flight, and we went to meet him in New York, another friend and I. And he got off the plane looking so absolutely pleased with himself. And he told me that when he got on the plane, he was feeling quite nervous. He was sitting at the window, and then there was a vacant seat, and then a man on the other seat. And they began to talk to each other, and this man was a naval pilot, and he knew all about planes. And he took him step by step right through this whole journey. And it was interesting for me to see when he came off the plane, and he said, I want to introduce you to this man. And he said to me, this man was my angel. Now, we have been working with angel thoughts, and I thought it was so nice that he recognized that this man was the angel that he needed and met his every need. And he was able to meet some needs that this man had. He needed to know a lot of things about San Francisco, and he was able to help him with that. And anyway, we finally got to Ireland, and we were in Belfast one day, and he had to go one place and I had to go another. And then we met up with each other, and he had rented a car, and we went to get the car when he discovered that he had lost the keys.